coffee in here myself.
Good morning. I'd like to call the September 13, 2012 City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Ms. Kundig?
Here.
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mrs. Times called and said she would try to make it today, but she was quite ill, so she may not make it today. And Mr. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Sino's here as well.
Is it appropriate to excuse Mrs. Hines' absence due to illness at this point? If so, Chair would entertain a motion excusing Mrs. Hines' absence due to illness.
So moved.
We have a motion and second. Other questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Have all members of the board had the opportunity to review the August 9, 2012 meeting minutes?
Yes.
If so, are there any amendments or corrections? Hearing none, Chair would entertain a motion approving the minutes for August 9, 2012.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Jones. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Has any member of the board had any ex parte communication with any party to any action that will come before the board? Madam Secretary or Mr. Jackson, are there any announcements?
I do have a few cases that are in compliance that aren't marked on the agenda. Case number 11, CEB0912-99, was in compliance as of September 10th, 2012. Case number 12, CEB0912-100, is in compliance as of September 12th, 2012. And case number 15, CEB09-12-103, is in compliance as of September 7th, 2012. I believe that's all we have of that.
That's my favorite part of the meeting.
Is it?
Well, all members of city staff who will be testifying, please come forward and be sworn. Just a little household information. For all persons who will be coming forward or who are in the audience, would you please take a look at your cell phones now and place those either on silent or vibrate mode, please? In addition to that, as you approach the podium to speak to the board and the members of city staff and testify, would you also speak into the microphone because this proceeding is being recorded? We do have two lien reviews, but before we do that, I'd like to ask if there is any member of council present today. Please come forward. What's the case number?
0912-106. I'm Mary Ellen Osterndorf.
Number 18.
Case number 18 is CEB09-12106, Chad Washington Life Estate, care of Mary Ellen Osterndorf. The property is located at 1351 Continental Drive. And we do have a council present. Would you repeat your name, please?
I'm Mary Ellen Osterndorf. I'm actually the guardian.
Okay, great. Let us hear from the inspector first.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, code enforcement inspector employed with the City of Daytona Beach. Qualifications are on record. This is case number CEB09-12106, Chad Washington Life Estate, care of Mary Ellen Osterndorf versus the City of Daytona Beach. The violations were parking in the yard, unmaintained landscaping, and dilapidated accessory structure, the fencing. The landscaping issue has been corrected. The parking issue has been corrected. However, we are still dealing with the dilapidated fencing.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Ms. Osterndorf?
The only thing I can is I notified the code officer. Mr. Washington, who was the ward and the owner of the property, passed away in April of this year. My authority as guardian ended when he passed away. There is a petition. His mother is living in the property, and she's filed to be appointed the administrator of the estate, but she has not yet been appointed. There's little I can do because the property title has passed, but I just wanted to make sure that any further action was notified directly to her. I did notify her and her counsel of today's hearing, but I don't see either of them here.
Mary Ellen, did the was his spouse then?
No, it was a son. It was a Mr. Ward. Mr. Washington was a 29-year-old disabled adult. It was from a birth injury. He was never able to.
He had life estate passed to his son.
Theoretically, it'll pass to his heirs, which will be his mother and his father.
Right, okay.
The mother has been residing in the property. She was his primary caregiver. The father's whereabouts are unknown, which is why she cannot get herself appointed. She's going through the process to get herself appointed.
Has petition been filed?
Petition's been filed. There is a case pending. The file number on that is 2012-11484, PRDL. It's here in Volusia County. I checked the status of the case last evening. Her petition is still pending. My understanding is she's published against the father because they believe he's returned to Africa.
Ms. Ossendorf, can you provide us information as to who the counsel will be that represents the guardian of the estate?
Certainly. That's Mr. Robert Elton.
And do you have an address for him, possibly?
Certainly.
And as well as the same for the mother.
The mother's residing in the property, so that's 1351 Continental Drive.
Right.
Mr. Elton's address is 1651 North Clyde Morris Boulevard, Suite 2, Daytona Beach, 32117.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know if it's appropriate to ask you, but generally we would ask if... we'd ask the respondent, and with your expiration of guardianship, I'm not sure if we can actually ask.
She has no authority.
Basically, what I was leading to was I was going to ask if you were aware that the properties and the violations existed, but with the expiration of guardianship, I won't be able to do that. So the board will proceed. Chair would entertain it well. And you don't have any information as to how to proceed. So
based upon the testimony of Inspector.
Yep. Yep.
They noticed the estate and the mother next meeting.
You think will be appropriate?
Yeah.
Cut off for 6 days.
We're going to do that. Do that. We'll continue the case. We'll define a non-compliant based upon testimony of officer.
We'll
then notify everybody to be here for next meeting.
Next 6 days might be more appropriate.
Just stand on.
The city would like to recommend the November cutoff.
Okay. Thanks, John.
And we can revisit it then.
Based on information that's provided by the inspector as well as the former guardian, Ms. Ossendorf, Chair would entertain the motion finding respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until November 1st, 2012, bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up of $1,000 per day. See such a motion.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign.
Thank you,
Ms. Usman.
Make sure the estate is noticed.
Mr. Cena, did you get that case number correctly?
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
2012-11484-CRDL.
Thank you.
Carry on. How's he doing?
He's doing well. Thank you. I had to tell him about Pete yesterday.
Okay. We have a lien review. Lien review number one is case number CEB08101451 36 Pelican. Brown Pelican Drive. Is the respondent here? 136 Brown Pelican Drive. Yes. Good morning, Hector.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, fellow board members.
Good morning. Janet Fowler Lustick.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Ms. Lustick, before we hear from you, we'll hear from the. You have such a long title, Hector. We'll hear from Mr. Garcia, who represents the city.
Good morning. This case is in reference to 136 Brown Pelican Bay, Pelican Drive, sorry. It's a lien review. The current lien on the property is $1,500. Staff recommends that we drop it down to $250 due to the exigent circumstances that existed at the time, and then we were made aware of a tree permit should have been obtained, and it wasn't. Service was attempted. We have the certified receipts here that we sent it out, but in any event, again, after reviewing the case, staff recommends $250 for the fine.
Ms. Lustig, is there anything you'd like to share with us regarding the case or the lien review?
Well, just that it's my parents' home. We hired a tree company, Allen's Tree Service, and asked them to get all the proper permitting. She hadn't lived there since 05. And when we went to sell that, we found this. Had we known, we would have taken care of it. It was a $22 permit. Wasn't a problem. We paid $500 to get the tree up. Lightning had struck it, and it was leaning towards the neighbor's house. It was all right for me, but not for the neighbor, and he kept, every month would call and say, could you please get it down? So we went through Pelican Bay and found Allen's Tree Service working there and told him to get all the permits. About 6 weeks later, he called and said he had it done, and we paid him, and 5 years later, or how many years later it is, 7 years, we find out that we've been on. And I get all the mail that my mother had. I don't know why I didn't get these registered letters. I get her tax forms, and I get everything from Pelican Bay, but I never received anything from the city on this, or I would have taken care of it.
Does any member of the board have any questions, Ms. Lustig or Mr. Garcia? As noted, the city is recommending that the lien be reduced to $250. If there are no issues with that by members of the board, Chair would entertain a motion reducing the lien amount to $250 based on the recommendation of the city. Is there such a motion?
So, second.
A motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Harrington. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Thanks, Ms. Lott.
Thank you very much.
The second lien review is case number CEB 0605272. The property is located at 240 DeSoto Street. Mr. Urban White will be coming forward as the respondent.
Irvin White.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. White.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Great.
Morning.
Before we hear from you, let us hear from Mr. Garcia again.
Chair, this case is in reference to 240 DeSoto, City of Daytona Beach. This case is actually a case from 2006. The lien amount as it stands right now is $17,900. City is recommending the length of the case and the fact that the officer is not around, but the time that was spent, that the fine be reduced to $1,500.
What would you like to say to us, Mr. White?
On this case, the fine was
first on the agenda is that they cited me, but it wasn't me that they cited the owner before I purchased the property. It was a condemned place at 240 DeSoto Street in Daytona Beach, and it was around one of my places of business that I had purchased from the same owner that had this lien and fine on him. And so when I bought the place, in my contract, we stated that he should clear up all city, state, and all the liens and everything on the property. Come to find out, they didn't do anything. So we went ahead on, because at the time when we purchased the property, it was barely needed repairs. So we did what we needed to do to secure our money and secure the place. And I turned around and went right on down, and on I got the place in 06 when I got the place legally titled to me by the company. And on the 3rd, 14th, we came down and applied for a building permit, got it done on the 3rd, 27th. So that let you know it wasn't much work that needed to be done. We did it less than 14 days with all the inspection with the permit from Mr. Huger, permit from the city. So the fine was there because the gentleman that owned the place, which was Mr. Nathaniel McGill, he had a bunch of property around town. And his representatives just wouldn't do nothing for the old man. And they just ignored all the paperwork, everything you guys would send out. So that's what ran the fine up. And I also have purchased three or four more pieces of property from the same guy. And I came down about the same lien, fifth 1806, tried to get it waived or tried to get it taken care of, and they wouldn't let me handle it because of the way we did the paperwork, saying I wasn't the legal owner. But at the same time, I had purchased another piece of property from the same guy, and I was trying to get both liens taken care of at the same time, so they let me take care of one of them, but this one they wouldn't let me take care of. So after we went through the court battles all the way up until the last court battle was up until 09, I think somewhere the first 09, that I finally got fully possession of the property and the company name on it. So through over the years, I've been wrestling with the old tenants, but not the old tenants, the old owners, about the property deal and everything, because they wanted to back out of the contract, because the land that they sold me was right next to Mr. Nick's house, and I wouldn't refuse to give them the money back. And so that's how we stayed in court so long, because they was trying to reject on the contract. And I refused to reject on it, because we had went in there and redid the place and everything. So it wasn't something that I ignored. It was something that was imposed on me of not doing what the city asked me to do, which they haven't asked me to do anything. It was all this came from the old owner.
Okay. Mr. White, the city has recommended that we reduce the fine from $17,900 or $15,000 with the maximized amount to $1,500, which is a substantial reduction. What's your opinion of that?
My opinion of that is I see where the old owners came down and imposed, paid $1,000 already on a pretrial release. Would that be deducted from the $1,500?
I saw that myself, and I think that was involving another case, but don't quote me on that.
Well, they got a, I have the form here where they said that it was imposed from 240, and I guess when the city attached a lien to your property, it goes to everything you own, and I noticed that they was trying to sell another piece of property, and they came out and paid this $1,000, so I'm just wondering, would that $1,000 be deducted from the $1,500? I certainly appreciate it, because I can't afford to pay it. It's not my bill. And I did take my money and go in there and bring this, the place back up to code where we could get some tax money off it. It wasn't demolished, and the place looked decent.
So I'm saying, what happened if they had to get another piece of property release? So they asked them to come up with $1,000?
Yeah, on a partial release, and generally when we do that, we make it specific to the property that's being released.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's not this, they want to release.
Correct. But that amount would be applied to the payment amount would be applied to the lien amount of the subject property.
So we applied to 17.9?
No.
Well, it would be maxed out at 1500,
right,
and then it would be applied to the 1500.
$15,000.
That's what I'm sorry. Yes, $15,000. Yes.
Okay. So it's going from $14,000. The recommendation is to
Did you understand that, Mr. Wayne?
I understand it. My question is, I guess, to clear my mind, is that the $1,000 that they came down and paid a few weeks ago, whenever they did it, what they just took that route to the top of the 15 and made it down to 14?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. White, you said that someone wouldn't let you take care of the lien. I don't know.
No, the city. I came down 5th to 18th to the lien review because I had purchased two pieces of property from him at the same time. Here's the agenda from that meeting. And they let me take care of one of them.
Who's they?
The
okay, John, please. Yeah. I'm confused.
Looking at the time, I don't fully remember. I remember a little bit, but I remember this white coming down. That was back in 06. And I'm fully reviewed with all of these conflicts going on. Actually, that's interesting. It stayed in 06, but it appears that the was actually considered in 08. So, 08 went before Mr. Patelja, and there was a lack of clarity as to the ownership. And so, one of the conditions that she considered the lien to do at that time was Mr. White proving he had ownership, and at the time, the ownership was not settled, and so the review was denied without prejudice for him, that was the possibility of being heard, and it was due.
When did you clear the ownership issue with the city?
2009. Okay. Give me a minute here, Casey.
I'm showing a person representative deed in the file from October 5th, 2010. I'll presume that would have been the final clarification. That was recorded October 11th, 2010. Which would have appeared to have been a clarification of ownership to that personal representative. Possibly. I don't know. That's not clear enough.
No, it's just happened here lately.
Okay. That got us closer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just happened lately, and I know I brought it with me because I know that was going to be asked. So just give me a minute here.
That's not this.
I'll just be here and give you a date. Okay. First 18/11.
Oh, that's when you.
That's when everything was found out in court.
Who's been paying the taxes on this property if there was no clear?
I've been paying it. Plus, I had taxes on it before I got it that I had.
Under your name, you had tax bill for a property you didn't technically have clear title?
The way I obtained the property, that what I had to do was going up for a tax sale.
Yeah,
and they came to me at the last minute. So what they did, they signed a quick claim deed to me right then before I had a chance to do any title work, because I had to get down to the place to pay the taxes within 4 to 5 minutes before they closed for being sold the next morning.
But so you got it in 2006. When did you file the quick claim with the county?
Okay. I have all that right here. You're going to have to give me a minute to look.
That was the date at which you would have been responsible for taxes.
Well, that was the date. That was the day. Matter of fact, here's the quick claim deed right here. It was filed 1st January 06.
And the county couldn't give clear title to the city? Tell them that you had clear title? I don't understand.
What happened? The McGee attorney kept filing paperwork in the court because when they sold me the piece of property, it was right back of that residence where Mr. Nickman lived it. And when they sold it to me, they had the property went right up to just about to the neck of his house, just about 8 feet. And they want to renege on the contract because they had sold me the property and the house that he was living in wouldn't have had in the yard. It was a big house. So they were trying to take the property back that increased the yard to his residence. So when they got ready to sell this residence, which brought this up, they would have had some property around to sell it for more money.
Well, I don't know. I never figured this out. But according to you and according to the paperwork you have there, the title was officially once and for all settled in 11.
11, yes.
Danny.
After a costly court battle.
Can you put the picture up? Oh, you don't have it.
Mr. White, when is it that you thought you purchased the property?
I thought I purchased the property?
Yeah.
Okay, we signed a contract in first 06, 26, 06, January 26, 06.
January of 06. And
yes.
And you brought the property into compliance by May?
I brought the property in compliance once I got him to sign the quick claim deed in 06. I called a contract out, which was
right.
Mr. Huger, and he came down on the 3rd or 14th and got a permit.
Okay.
14th of January?
Yes, no, March.
Okay, so you got it in January and brought it in compliance in March?
Yes.
And there was a lot of work to be done.
Well, it wasn't a whole lot of work to be done. The place just was overdrove.
Okay.
Broken windows needed to be painted. Okay. Just cosmetic that really needed to be done. It just was an eyesore.
Okay.
So it wasn't no major work had to be done.
So the city says this is in compliance. They're recommending $1,500 fine. And
Mr. Sino made a point because the lien was reduced $1,000, he was thinking or discussed. That would take maybe $100 off of the $1,500, make it $1,400.
Fine.
Because the actual lien was reduced by $1,000.
Yeah, I can.
If that's something that
that's fine.
To consider.
I mean, it includes a lot of interest.
Just for the sake of the city. City has a bunch.
What I'm showing it on the prior review request is that the property has been in compliance after 180 days on May 2nd, 2006. When I expected to find the property in compliance, that's based on his May 06 application.
Be so still 18,000.
Right.
How do you feel about that, Hector? $1,400. Or do you, considering it's $18,000 originally reduced to $15,000 because of the, I guess the program? What was the program name?
Maximum fines.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The ordinance.
Yeah. $1,500 is still where you want to keep it, or?
If
you're
going to pay it within 30 days, if not.
Okay, well, I discussed that with the young lady, Miss Amy, that sent me this paperwork
right
to come in front
right
of this
there.
Board. That's her? Well, I discussed that with her, and I highly emphasize that I couldn't pay that within the next 65 days with my obligation I have online right now. But I don't want to say I can't pay it, but I don't want to say if 30 days I don't have it in my hand, I'm going back to the same bridge that I crossed. So if I didn't run, just at the mercy of the board in the city, they give me 60 days deadline to pay it. I'm pretty sure I get that in my hand within 60 days, and I won't wait the 60 days to run ahead to give it to you. But right now, my obligation is set. Okay.
Okay. Based on information provided by the city staff as well as Mr. White, the respondent, shall entertain a motion. Reducing the fine amount to $1,400 payable within 6 days, or the amount reverts back to the original amount of $15,000.
So moved.
Effective, well, today, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We have a motion by Mr.
Second.
Barger, second by Mr. Borns. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
I'm sorry, we revert back and if the frequency we approve.
Yes.
Okay.
Just for clarification, if the $1,400 is not paid within 60 days, the fine amount will revert back to the original amount of $15,000, and it will continue to accrue interest. And Mr. Smart, you still have the motion?
Yes.
We revert back to the amount that's already accrued. Like whatever the amount is, right?
Okay. Revert back to the original amount.
Yes, we revert back to the original amount.
Okay. Mr. Smart, is that okay?
One more.
Mr. Boring?
I second.
Yes. Okay. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Thank you, Mr. White.
All right, appreciate you.
All right.
Okay.
Now we'll begin with the hearing of our cases. Beginning with case number one, which is CEB 081277, Daniel and Christina Hammond. Property is located at 1254 Margina Avenue. Is the respondent here?
Good morning. My name is Officer Michael Fitzgerald. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. Case number CEB0812-77. City of Daytona Beach versus Hammond Daniel and Christina. Property address 1254 Margina Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID number 40153307230140. Violations, peeling paint, flaking and chip paint. Exterior, structure not maintained. Deterioration of structural members, rotting wood. Damage of accessory structure, which was to be the garage, and damage and leaking roof.
Was your property occupied?
Non-occupied, going into foreclosure. We're asking for 200, we have exhibits A1 through A19, prior photos, exhibit B1 through B3 are the updated photos. No change in the property. That's the roof.
Michael, is there any communication with the respondent?
No communication with the respondent.
We're in the process of foreclosure. Is this pending to file?
Yes.
Are we able to do essentially what we can?
Right. Can't enforce
what we're doing.
Do you know when the list pending was filed? Or really, it's academic, I guess. Okay, the city inspector suggested a fine of $250 per day, Michael?
Yes, sir, $250 per day, up to $15,000 until compliance, or until compliance.
Effective today, with a maximum amount of $15,000, or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Harrington. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay, thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Case number two is CEB 081279, John A. Schobert. His property is located at 613 Goodall Avenue.
Compliance.
It's
in compliance. They're in compliance.
What was the date?
Yesterday.
Okay, thanks. Good. Based on information provided by the inspector, the property is in compliance as of September
12,
2012.
Two and three.
Two and three.
Two and three.
Mm-hmm. Case number three is CEB 081280, John A. Schobert. Our property is located at 613 Goodall Avenue. Based on information provided by the inspector, Mr. Tom Clegg, the property is in compliance as of September 12, 2012. Case number four is CEB 071275, Horace R. and Tammy T. Brodnax. There are two adjoining properties that are located at 572 Magnolia Avenue, also known as 155 South Martin Luther King Boulevard. Is the respondent here? Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, members of the board. They have made some progress. I spoke with the property owner, Mr. Burrox, yesterday afternoon. They did fix the stairway, had a contractor. They pulled a permit. They did some work on the front, which there is pictures there. It's just taking a bit. The front of the property, which leads to Magnolia, they painted it. but they haven't completed the work, the substantial work that needs to be done on the property. The city is asking for $100 a day for non-compliance from the date that they needed to comply in. So $100 a day for each day of non-compliance, total $15,000.
Ed, I just want to make sure. Now, the last time he was here, we gave him as strict of encouragement as we can to get a contract on board to get the things done. So work is taking place, and now we want to find him on top of the work taking place?
Well,
can it happen any faster than what's happening?
We gave him 60 days, nothing was completed. Then we gave him another time frame to get a contractor to do the repairs. We gave him a time frame to come into compliance. He has not come into compliance. That's the reason why the city is requesting the fine, because it's still not complete. He could stop work like this. It's still incomplete. I will have to do a whole new case and bring it back to the board.
Right.
But I just want to make sure we, you know, statements that were made, and I guess I can be corrected by the minutes, was, you know, if we see work, we would consider that when the mm-hmm. case came back to us, because he's in Georgia and he was coming down.
We called to
encourage him to see Mr. To see Mr. Bryant before he left to get things happening.
Yes.
And now that things are happening, we're back at the fine phase.
Right, but the board, as I recall, requested compliance, not as things to be moving. And
we wanted everything to be done by this meeting?
Yes.
Or did we want to see progress by this meeting?
Well, we didn't ask for a progress report.
We didn't ask for progress.
Well, I think based on the things that were needed, think we wanted to see some progress being made.
Last month we asked for a progress report, if I remember correctly.
Right.
Okay. And Mr. Broadnax did come down and he provided the report himself. Again, very little was done at that time.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying, Mr. Brown.
Has there been what you would consider substantial work done, Eddie?
No, ma'am. There's still a lot of substantial work. What my understanding is with the property owner, he wants to move the tenant from the duplex here to the front of the property and then work on this property. But on this duplex that what you see here, mm-hmm. the only completed work was this rotten wood here that was replaced in the stairways. There was still substantial.
Is that picture?
If you could go back, please.
Could you go back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to the stairway, please.
Is that considered fixed?
No. There's a picture up there. That's that was back in
March. Not that one.
I'll show you where it's fixed.
It has been repaired. But there's still substantial work that needs to be done. It's still not in compliance. There's a current picture.
I mean,
I promise you, there's a current picture.
And, you know, something that weighs on my mind is that this person has owned the property for 12 years.
Have you talked to him about painting that building? I think he painted the other building, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
The Magnolia property.
Yes, he did paint the exterior. Ms. Ouija, this with the stairway, which he did.
Now. Okay.
Yes.
Is that a legal railing there? That's a code?
Yes. He did pull a permit, and the building inspector has made an inspection on it. I don't believe there's a final to it.
All right.
But I'm sure
it looks like a very slap type of railing. But
the permit that he took out, there. Is there things that he still hasn't done under the permit, or he's got a new permit for additional stuff?
He's got a permit for the stairways. I didn't see currently a permit for other work that
he needs to be doing.
Permit for other stuff. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Gotcha. Eddie, I think this might be the contractor, Mr. Lucas.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you state your name, please?
Daryl Lucas.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Lucas, is there anything you can contribute to the conversation as to in terms of progress and what has been done, what needs to be done, and Mr. Broadnax's behalf?
Okay. On the house, I don't know. I just walked in. But we're probably about like 98% complete with completing that part of it. And this week I'm planning on finishing the duplex.
what remains to be done on the duplex?
Well, the screen, we're going to take down the screen and everything. They have some the tenants that live there actually have some personal property. They actually made it almost like a storage kind of place. And so, like what he was saying initially, is that the tenants that live, no one lives downstairs. The tenants that live upstairs are going to move over into the house that they just showed previously. And so what we're going to do is that once they move all that stuff in, we're going to finish completing the stairwell. And what I was contracted to do was the stairwell, the painting. I think it was the issue with the vent as far as the dryer, but that's something that's easily fixed. They just take that out, and that they're going to pull a permit for the electrical, and they're going to encase that. And that's pretty much it as far as what my responsibilities are.
What about the windows? Are you contracted to replace or repair those also?
On the house or the duplex? Because the ones on the house have already been replaced.
On the duplex?
Yes, I'm going to repair the windows that needs to be replaced.
How soon will you have that done?
I'm anticipating having everything completed by next week.
Mr. Lopez, are the smoke alarms in?
Now, the one in the house, it is one that's hardwired inside the house. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to get into the apartments upstairs. No, it's going to be replaced. I'm just replacing them.
Did he get an occupational license yet? Does anyone know?
Well, he can't do that until he can get
all
an inspection.
Until everything else is
and
done.
And that won't take place.
But it is done. The property is occupied by one tenant that's going to move to the duplex.
It's going to move to the house. They're
upstairs
the
house.
In the duplex.
Okay, never mind. To the house, okay. So that will be vacant, that structure right there.
Yes, ma'am.
And you will be working on that?
Yes, ma'am. Outside and inside.
Okay, so.
And the city's requesting the 30 days to have full compliance. If full compliance is not met, revert back to today's date upon.
Okay. Are you 100% certain you'll have everything done before October 3rd?
I'm sure. With what I'm contracted to do.
Okay. They're going to do the fence, the defense is for that date.
Right. Their back fence,
yes.
Right there. Yes, sir.
Well, it's good to see that there has been some progress, and you were brought on board, and it seems like you're taking care of everything. So, based on the information that Mr. Lopez just stated, Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent, amending our previous motion and allowing the respondent until October 3rd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance, or impose a fine certain of $100 per day effective today until compliance is achieved, or a maximum amount of $15,000 is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Before we vote, can we hear from Mr. Bryant?
I solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, boy. Charles Bryant, Redevelopment Project Manager. I just want to emphasize, while the contractor is here, to make sure that those paint colors are approved. I don't think they have a letter for the paint for the buildings that's already been painted, but just so you won't have to paint it over, make sure you get those paint colors approved. You can contact Jeannie Tolley, 671-8181. I'm talking about the house. Yes. Yes. You need to get the colors approved. You can contact Jeannie Tolley, 671-8181. Because this is in the redevelopment area.
Does that take any specific time period, or is it contacting and she said give them the number?
What she do is she have them give bring in a paint chip. She approves it. She gives them a letter.
Okay. Same thing. Those colors are already in that redevelopment area, so they want the architect to want to pull those items or colors to something. Some buildings they have recently painted in
there. If we know that they've been recently painted, then we check as we get with code, and they do have to have approved color for all redevelopment areas.
But that's so it is to make sure it's that portion as well.
Mr. Chair, could we have the contractor come up to the mic, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a board issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then.
Mr. Bowens, would you consider just amending your motion just slightly and requiring also that the respondent also obtain an occupational license upon completion of the work?
Yes, indeed.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 I'm voting no. And I'm voting no because I think, in my opinion, I've heard the testimony on this, and I think this that not sufficient amount of work has been done, and so I vote no.
The contractor did state he plans to be done with the work entirely by next week. Let's hope so. But there is a fine certain in place, Mr. Harrington.
Okay.
If the work is not completed by October 3rd, it'll be fine certain effective today.
Okay. I still
$100 per day.
I still want my no vote on record.
Case number 5, which is CEB 081289, Eric Stack. Property is located at 380 Jefferson Street. The respondent here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the property is still not in compliance. We still have outside storage and debris out in the front of the property. Property is there's some type of repairs being done. I spoke to the property owner. He's out of Maryland over the phone, but I'm unable to reach him at the property. But there's still, there's current pictures up. Products still out in the front that still hasn't been removed.
You made contact with the owner?
Over the phone. I haven't been able to speak with him on the property.
But yeah, but I mean, you've spoken with him?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Does he have a representative of some kind that may be able to come out and meet with you?
He bought the property. He's out of Maryland. He was here in town. He said he was going to have the property cleaned up. He just hasn't come into compliance.
When did that conversation take place?
On the 7th of September.
So it was recently?
Yes.
That's correct.
This
what
was
your recommendation?
Recommendation is $100 a day for each day of noncompliance, total $15,000 max.
Before we move forward with that, I noticed that the contact mailing address is the property address. Do you have a different address for Mr. Stack?
No, sir.
Has anything come back that we've mailed?
I don't see any notices.
No.
On the record. And actually, there was a certified sent, but there was no signature.
Yeah.
And that was on August 12th. No, maybe not. I don't know what the date is.
Eddie, who lives on the property? I see cars there.
According to the property owner, he's living there. He's going to be living there.
He's going to be.
Yeah.
But he's in Maryland and he owns all those cars?
And the bicycles.
I don't know if he has family members or whatnot that comes down to help him out. I don't know. I don't know the story.
But it's not a rental property?
No.
Is this on the north side of George Ingram, or is that on the
This south? Is south of George Ingram.
Okay, so your recommendation, $100 per day, effective today?
Yes, sir.
Based on information testimony provided by the inspector, Mr. Lopez, chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $100 per day, effective today, September 13, 2012, until compliance is achieved, or a maximum amount of $15,000 is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Case number six is CEB 06081290, Betty Kreitman. Property is located at 140 South Keith Street. Respondent here.
The property is still in non-compliance. They have the boat has been removed from the property, but it's still an ongoing of trash, junk, and debris on the property. It's continuous. There's on the rear side of the property. He has an extensive amount of debris and just trash that he stores back towards the rear of the property, tin cans and so forth on the side of the property. So it's still in non-compliance. City's requiring a fine of $100 a day for each day of non-compliance at $15,000.
Ed, let me ask you a question. If he takes that garbage and puts it out to the street, will they pick it up, or is there a cost to it?
Mr. Harrington, I spoke with the gentleman, my fellow co-officer, Mr. Sykes, that knows him personally, went to school with him, spoke with him. We tried to work with him, give him time to remove the debris.
But the city will pick it up. Okay.
But he just is uncompliant.
Is the house occupied?
Yes.
Have you... Is the house occupied by tenants or the owner?
I don't know if they're related to Ms. Kreitman, but I'm going to say it's a tenant.
Have you spoken to her?
Not to Ms. Betty, no.
Who did you actually speak to, or anyone, Eddie?
To the tenant, forget his name. I don't know if his name is Corey. I don't have his name with me, Mr.
Know the
Chairman.
Whereabouts of Ms. Kreitman or her status?
No, I don't.
Okay. Notices that we've sent to her, have they come back, or?
I've posted the property, and the notice has come back from the property that's listed on the property appraisers at 140 South Key Street. There's no other address that I was able to find on my research. Yes.
Even in public record, is there a death certificate or anything?
I haven't found anything.
There's a signature on the affidavit of posting that says that I believe it was hand-delivered. This is Chucky Edwards.
Chucky, that's the gentleman's name. Chucky.
I think it's Edwards.
Okay. So
I can only really make out Chucky.
I don't know his relations to Ms. Kreitman.
Did you say that there's just aluminum cans and small debris left on the property?
There's substantial debris on the rear side of the property. It's still the same as we see in the pictures. The only thing that was removed was the boat that was stored on the property, and he still has tin cans and debris on the side of the property. Every now and then he comes back and brings the trailer. But then he removes it, brings it back. It's ongoing.
So we might want to consider a fine certain eventually or possibly for the trailer as well.
Well, sometimes, you know, I feel sad for the guy because he seems like a good guy, but he brings a trailer empty, comes back, and it's full of palm fronds and debris.
Oh, okay, so he doesn't load it up at the property?
No, sir.
Okay.
He comes to the property.
I hate to, and I don't want to appear to question your authority or your judgment, but personally, I'm not speaking for the board. I just would like to see maybe a lesser of fine amount than the 100. But again, I'm not questioning your judgment. Depending on how much it is, it does look like it's a lot and scattered. I would be more inclined personally for something like $25 per day.
But city has no objection.
I'm not questioning your judgment or anything, because I always try to stand with you all.
But who are we fining? We don't know if this person exists. And in terms of the city getting somebody to take the trash out, it would seem to me the person lives on there. We don't have any authority there. It's just gonna he could accumulate it through the sky. And until we can locate this, who is the owner,
the owner would be responsible for the fines.
But the fines aren't accomplishing what we want in this particular case. It's just we've never contacted the owner. They haven't signed for the thing. We haven't talked to the owner. They're the ones responsible.
But the property has been posted.
Yeah, I'm not arguing against the fine. I'm just saying I don't know what we're accomplishing.
I look at these pictures, and I don't see that it would cost a whole lot of money. So my sympathy is pretty low to get rid of the debris and junk. And no one has seen fit to do it. So
I agree. So I don't know. Somebody's going to accumulate fines that may be dead.
Obviously, they're not motivated to clean up the property.
And I would agree with you. I think a lower fine's fine.
Is this property located at the corner of, I think, Magnolia and Keach?
Yeah, it's not on the corner, but it's the house.
One end.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of Keach and Magnolia, yes, sir.
Just south of Speedway.
Right.
Just Speedway. I was actually the one that did the posting, and the gentleman, Chucky, I can read his last name, but he signed for it.
Okay. Is there any way we can find out through him where the owner might be, possibly? Because she's going to be responsible. Regardless of what the fine amount is, she's going to be responsible.
He just said she wasn't available.
I mean, if you own a piece of property, it's incumbent upon you to take care of it and to know what's going on. It's not incumbent upon us, other than posting the property or upon the people, to do anything more than that.
That's certainly true. I just would like to see some way to get this trash. I mean, it's awful to get this trash removed.
My concern in asking about a death certificate was to find out if the city was aware if there was if the party was deceased or not. Maybe the person has a disability of some kind and can't take care of it. We can't determine that here, but I was just curious to find out if there was any additional information that was available.
I mean, for all we know, I guess that person could be a squatter in there.
Yeah.
But the fine goes to the property, and the property is not in compliance, and even if that person is a squatter that's in there,
squatter's not responsible.
Yes, as far as the motion, I accept your argument, so I guess we better...
Okay.
The inspector recommended $100 a day. I can't make a motion. I suggested, based on my opinion, personal opinion, that we maybe consider something less, but it's up to the members of the board to make the motion as to what you feel would be fit.
Eddie, what's your opinion of that?
I have no objection. City has no objection. The final fine of $25 for each day of noncompliance, as the chairman stated.
With the $15,000 max?
Yes, sir.
Our goal is to have clean up the yard.
Right.
And we have no
authority. And whatever we can do to make that happen, I think we should do. And I think the larger fine maybe would get his attention. We can always adjust the fine later on, right? We could always reduce the fine if, you know, he comes in compliance.
Well, based on Ms. Kundick's comments also, Mr. Smart, the person who is there could be a squatter. He's not the owner. Ms. Kreitman is the owner, and there has been no contact by Mr. Lopez. I mean, I understand your logic. But considering the gravity of the violation, I personally, I'm only speaking for myself, think that in this particular case, perhaps $100 a day is a little excessive. That's just my opinion. I don't know what we've done in the past, but I'm not basing my opinion on what we've done in the past and what we may do in the future. I'm just saying in this particular case.
How about $50 a day?
There we go.
And again, is
that a motion?
Is that your motion, Mr. Borns?
Yes.
We're negotiating here. We're negotiating.
Mr. Borns made a motion to impose a fine of $50 per day, I'm assuming effective today, with a maximum amount of $15,000. I believe that's the motion.
Yes.
We have a motion by Mr. Borns. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Harrington. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
Is the code department satisfied with that?
Yeah, well, the city has no objection on that.
Okay.
Ms. Weege.
Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thank you, Mr. Borns.
Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to be known, the reason I didn't have a problem when we just did $100 a day is because this owner has not been directly contacted, so I'm just a little leery of finding them the maximum or that $100 without knowing if the owner has been notified. And this could be a squatter who's taking all of the notices and all of the postings down, and the owner doesn't know because they don't know anyone living there. So I just didn't want to give the misconception that we were being inconsistent.
Okay, but once again, the fine goes to the house, and
right.
You know, the only excuse would be, as you said, Mr. Chair, maybe she's not alive. Other than that, I don't think there are a lot of exceptions that I would consider.
Well, we voted on it, so.
So the fine is $50 a day.
Sorry.
Yeah, the fine is $50 per day, effective today, September 13, 2012, a maximum amount of $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Case number 7 is CEB081291, Samuel L., I guess it's Body or Bodie. Property is located at 350 Maple Street. Respondent here.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the property is still with a tenant. No repairs have been made to the property. The tenant is still making payments to the property owner. City is requesting a one-time fine of $250 for no occupational license on file and $100 a day for each day of noncompliance, maximum 15.
Eddie, when you say damage scores, nothing life or safety-wise?
No.
You say there's a tenant there?
There is a tenant there. When I say the floors, it's just the floors need to be repaired. Looks like the flooring is a little tilted there. You might have to check the foundation on the property.
Yeah, so it's
is the tenant the one that made the complaint?
Yes, sir.
Eddie, have you had any contact with the owner at all?
Yes, I spoke to the owner on the property. He stated, you know, that he was going to let the property go into foreclosure. he was going to have the tenant leave, but the tenant's still there, and no work has been done to the property.
Okay. Based on information provided by the inspector and information that's contained in the record, and the inspector's recommendation, chair would entertain a motion imposing a $250 administrative fee plus $100 per day, a fine of $100 per day effective today, September 13, 2012, until compliance is achieved or a maximum amount of $15,000 is accomplished. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I believe the motion was Mr. Borns, second Mr. Brown. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Eddie, I know that you have other cases.
I have one, Mr. Chairman.
Just one more?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go ahead and expedite that one after we read until the record, case number 8. Case number 8.
I'm sorry, I have two.
Two? Okay, we'll take care of those. Let me read this into the record. Case number 8 is CEB081292, Mormon Realty and Development, LLC. Property is located at 427 South Martin Luther King Boulevard, and the property is in compliance as of August 31st, 2012. Case number 22 is CEB091210, Dolores P. Streeter. Property is located at 220 South Franklin Street. Mr. Respondent here. Good morning, Ms. Streeter.
Good morning.
Could you raise your right hand and be sworn by Madam Secretary?
Could you state your name into the microphone?
Dolores P. Streeter.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hey, before we hear from you, Ms. Streeter, let us hear from the inspector.
I'm Eddie Lopez with Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. Case number CEB091210. City of Daytona Beach versus Dolores P. Streeter. Property address is 220 South Franklin Street in Daytona Beach City Limits. Parcel ID number is 3915-0-0-0. 3202-050070. The property has cleaned up. Ms. Streeter has cleaned up the property, and the vehicles are in working condition. The fence, she put in a new fence, a white plastic fence, which she needs to obtain a permit. I did speak with her earlier this morning and informed on the permit that she needs to obtain downstairs for the fence. The roof needs to be repaired. She's having a contractor fix and repair the roof. She's stating about 2 weeks the roof should be repaired. The city's requesting 30 days or next cutoff for compliance. The rest of the violations are in compliance.
Ms. Street, is there anything you'd like to say on your behalf?
Yes, that what he was saying that yes, I'm in the process of getting my roof fixed.
Yes.
And I did clean up everything, and everything is in compliance with the city, and I don't see no reason for this to be going any further. Okay. Like you say, I need 30 days with the contractor to do the roof, and it's not no major damage, it's minor damage that need to be repaired.
Okay.
But I'm having the whole roof replaced.
When will you be going down to get your permits, or are you going to have your roofing contractor pull the permit?
For the roof?
Yes.
I already have paperwork in process.
Okay.
They done came out, took pictures of the roof and everything, and it's a matter of time they get with the contractor the foregoing of the procedure. And I went down this morning to get the permit for the fence. I got to give my survey and take it back to them. They gave me the paperwork to fill out on the permit for the fence, and I already had the fence up.
Okay. Do you believe you'll have everything done by October 3rd then?
With the roof, I'm not certain because of the contract. I can't speak for them, but it's like I guess shouldn't be within 30 days or 45 to 30 days for them to really get the roof. I don't know how long it take to do a roof.
Okay.
So with
depending on the damage, they could have it done in a few days to a couple of weeks.
Okay, so I'm quite sure they should have everything done within 30 to 45 days.
And if it's not done by October 3rd, you can let Mr. Garcia know. Lopez know.
Okay.
And again, you can just remain in contact with Mr. Lopez. Let him know, and then we can amend it if necessary to allow you more time.
Okay.
Do you agree the sum of all of the violations existed at the time you were notified?
Do I agree with the sums?
No. Do you agree that some of these, there were violations on the property?
Yes, because my husband, he passed away last year, and he was like a hoarder that accumulate junk.
Okay.
So since his death, I have been removing it.
Right.
But it's like a slow progress, but, you know, with the city giving me a boost, I really got everything cleared out, trying to maintain decency, because that's how I can't like clutter. I don't like clutter.
Okay.
So I've been so processed, but I'm getting it done.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until October 3rd, 2012, to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
We have a motion by Ms. Kumnick.
Second.
And we have a second. I believe Mr. Borns beat you up, Mrs. Fine. And the second is Mr. Borns. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. We've allowed you until October 3rd, Ms. Streeter, to come into compliance. Again, if you have any problems, contact Mr. Lopez. And if necessary, we can amend the order. Okay, thank you. Case number 23 is CEB 0912111, Daisy M. Jones. Property is located at 565 Live Oak Avenue. Mr. Respondent here. We're here to determine compliance and non-compliance, and the violations are damage roof.
Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement, CEB 0109-1211, also known as, case number CEB 0912111, City of Daytona Beach, residence Daisy M. Jones. Property address is 565 Live Oak Avenue within Daytona Beach city limits. Parcel ID number is 39153337010. 0130. I did speak with Ms. Jones early this morning. She has major roof damage to the property. I believe she tried to work with obtain our city assistance with Charles Bryant. There was no funds to that effect, according to what she was telling me. The roof, I had her put a tarp over the roof so it'll look a little bit more presentable. My understanding, speaking with Ms. Jones, is a financial situation why it hasn't been repaired. City's requesting, she was also, I want to backtrack, I did speak with her, she is ill, so that's why she's not here today. She is trying to obtain assistance through a church or someone to help her repair the roof. City's requesting until next cutoff to come into compliance.
And considering she's ill and a financial issue, do you think that would be a sufficient amount of time? Again, I'm not questioning you as an inspector.
I've been trying to work with her since May of this year. I sent her to the city to try and see if the city could assist her. Apparently, the city can't. There's no funds.
What is her age, you know, approximately?
No, I haven't gotten.
Is she elderly?
I'm sorry?
Is she elderly?
I've only spoken with her over the phone. I don't know her age.
All right. Based on information and testimony provided by the inspector, Mr. Lopez, based on his recommendation, the chair will entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance, allowing the respondent until October 3rd, 2012 to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Such a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Kundick. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Brown. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
I think we should give her longer. I think we should give her to the next cutoff date after that. It should be 11-1. It's already, right now we're at the middle of September. She's only talking about a little bit more than 2 weeks.
Ms. Kundick.
If she makes contact with the inspector, I mean, that's standard for them to extend the time. If they are making progress.
This, be advised, has been since May. Give me 90 days, 180 days. If it's going to get done, it would have been done. I think it's just basically, I don't want to speak for Ms. Jones, so, but it's a financial issue, so she needs to find a financial help somewhere, somehow, to repair the roof.
Eddie, are there grants available for something like this?
I've directed her to Mr. Charles Bryant, which is with the Redevelopment Board, and my understanding there isn't funds there. Maybe Mr. Charles Bryant is here in the audience and could assist me on that. But
here comes the money man.
Board, we don't have any funds for the redevelopment area. I tried to... I think it was last year, a year before, worked with Ms. Jones to get a new roof through the World Changes Program. And, of course, working with youth, they would have done the roof, but when they looked at it, there was no way they were going to take the risk of putting kids up on that roof. So they weren't able to help her. And since that time, we don't have the funds in order to help her put a new roof on. But I have tried to work with her over the last couple of years.
Will you all be receiving any new funding maybe after October 1st? I'm just curious. I'm not saying that we're going to be dependent upon your department or anything. I'm just curious.
To cure your curiosity, Mr. Chair, no.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we do have a motion and second. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board?
So that would
like my suggestion. Okay. Mr. Chairman, the members of the board of city is requesting 60 days to come into compliance or find certain from today's date for non-compliance.
I'd be willing to amend my motion. For 60 days to come into compliance?
Find certain when we're going from the compliance non-compliance stage? Is that?
Yes, from the non-compliance stage.
If we were at the compliance stage, that would
be almost, you know, apropos, but for us to go from the non-compliance stage to a direct fine back to today's date.
Yeah.
Okay. I was able to correct the
after the 60 days. I stand corrected.
From 60, we November 1st. Who had the second? Was that Mr. Borns?
Yeah, I'll be the second, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Brown
had
the second.
Mr. Brown, okay.
Right.
Consider amending your second.
Just the compliance date to November 1st,
right,
and then just come back.
Right, okay. I just want to make sure that's what we're working.
We can't do.
Okay, yes.
Not compliant. Okay.
So the motion is to we are finding the respondent in non-compliance. We're allowing the respondent until November 1st, 2012 to bring the property into compliance or be returned before the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Ms. Koenig has amended her motion. Mr. Brown has amended his second. Are there any questions or comments from members of the board?
Can I just ask one question? It is Daisy Jones that lives in the on the property?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
This is going to come back to haunt us, I know.
Why so?
I don't know what to suggest, though. I guess 60 days and...
If the permit is applied for, the permit automatically gives her up to 6 months to have the work completed. So... how would it come back to bite us? I mean, if you contract somebody and it takes them 2 months to put it up, then so be it. The idea is that, and I understand where the officer's coming from, we put time and effort into this since May. Here we are in the middle of September and nothing has been done. Now, Mr. Bryant has attempted to work with her prior to the violation as well as during the violation, being first notified to the property owner, and compliance still hasn't been done. So I think it's fair that we're extending ourselves an additional 60 days, so to speak, to the November cutoff. I don't think it would bite us.
I have no quarrel with that.
And I apologize for not standing, but
you're fine.
My day.
Your presence is always felt.
Yeah.
Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Does anyone need clarification on that motion and second?
No.
Are we okay? Just for the record, let me read into the record case number 24 and case number 25. Case number 24 is CEB 0912112. Earl Johnson Jr. and Earl Johnson Sr. That property is located at 201 South Martin Luther King Boulevard, which has been withdrawn. Case number 25 is CEB 0912113. Chang, is it Ike? Ick? And Cook S. Choi. Property is located at 131 South Nova Road. That property is in compliance as of August 28, 2012. Before we proceed with the cases, I think it would be best if we call up those persons, the respondents that are part of the cases that are here. If the board members don't have a problem with that, should we proceed in that manner? If anyone is out in the audience who would like to come forward and let us hear your cases, we can take it. We won't go in order. We'll just take your cases.
I just got one in. Tenant is here, but the owner's not here.
Okay. You want? We can just do it. Danny's first, then.
Okay.
Is that your last one, Danny?
Yeah, the only one.
Which one is that?
Case number 9.
It's number 9.
Number 9.
Case number 9 is CEB 091297, William S. Gay. Property is located at 29 South Oleander Avenue. Mr. Garcia has indicated that the owner's not here, but the tenant is.
The owner sent me an email, the excuse letter, but I noticed the tenant's here.
Thank you. Oops.
The only issue here is an occupational license.
At this time, yes.
Here's an extra, Dana.
So you can see on the bottom, she's noted that the listing of Mr. Gay, William S. Gay, is incorrect. But on the tax roll, I advised her to have that changed on the tax roll because that's what's listed.
Can you tell us about it, Danny?
My name is Officer Garcia. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is City of Daytona Beach versus William S. Gay. Parcel address is 29 South Oleander. Parcel ID number 04153301140091. The violation at this time is no occupation license for the rental. They did have a rental inspection paid for and done on March 26, 2012 at 10 a.m. by David Houlihan. It failed, the inspection, so I advised her that she claimed that she was unknown that it failed. She didn't get a notice, so I advised her to reschedule for a new one, and that's where we stand at this time.
Do we have the proper address, Danny, for notifications?
Um, 200 Hillwood Avenue, Richmond, Virginia, 23226. Yes.
I don't have anything in the record myself.
I got the certified green card signed for.
Signed on February 27th.
Okay, thank you.
That's his knowledge. You don't have that at the hearing in there?
And do you have evidence from the inspector that they've done these?
Sorry?
Do you have the report from the inspector that they've...
No, I do not. That's something that he does out there, and then he gives a copy to the tenant person that's there, and that's what she's stating, that the owner's stating that she didn't receive that.
Okay, so she can't get this license until she gets...
That's correct.
The inspection.
And so she passes it.
Somewhere along the line, we need a duplicate copy of whatever was handed to the tenant.
I spoke to her on the 10th and advised her on what was going on and what she needed to do. So she's following up on it.
Okay. This does that, it seems like they're trying to get this in order. It's just a paperwork type of
thing. Danny, when was that house inspection done? Do you know?
On the 20th. March 26th.
March. We're now September.
And like I said, she stated that she was unaware that it failed. She was thinking that she had passed it and hadn't heard anything since that.
And the notice that she failed went to the tenant versus her?
I believe so. I'm not sure what they did with it. According to the email, that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
And the reason she can't get the occupational license is because of the numbers.
Because what?
The windows?
I don't know what's on the list.
We don't know because we haven't seen the inspection report.
But I advise her to get back with permits and licensing, find out from David Houlihan, was the inspecting officer, inspector at the time, and find out what it is that she needs to get a hold of. She does have a license contract, as she's stating.
And I mean, if we go on her email, it states that that's the issue with regards to some windows. She needs to have a contract to put it in work. So I think we would need fine finding a non-compliance.
Well, I can't say I did an inspection on and noticed that the window I cited her for, the previous, the original notice of violation that I cited her for was no occupation license, dorm living, and broken window. And she, upon inspection of myself, I found that there was, they did repair that window that was broken. And I spoke to the tenants and found that the dorm living has been rectified. The vehicles has been removed that were there in the past. So at this time, like I said, we only have the issue with the occupation license. And
Danny, based on the email, isn't that because the person is residing in the cabana? Because it appears as though the there's a father and son residing in.
And that's that. That counts as one person, right. And then with the
which
other, that's two, which is okay right. At this time.
Okay. And she put the tenants in before.
I don't think she knew about it.
Okay, but they were there.
They were there
without a license.
Yes, neighbors were reporting to me that there were parties, numerous vehicles, numerous people. Okay. Now it's a different story. Now that they're down to three.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we find a respondent non-compliant to get until next cutoff.
A motion by Mr. Brown.
Is that enough time?
Yes, that's what I told her was I told her that I'd be stating that it's a non-compliance and by next cutoff she should be in compliance by then. If not, she would return to the board for a one-time fine of $250. And if she had another inspection and failed for some reason and needed more time, then we can amend if we have to.
I'll second the motion if it's appropriate.
Let me restate the motion just to be on the safe side, and then we'll hear from Mr. Jackson. We do have a motion by Mr. Brown finding the respondent non-compliance and allowing the respondent until October 3rd, 2012 to come into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. That's, I believe, Mr. Brown's motion.
And I second.
Mr. Harrington.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we do have the
No. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
The record can reflect the tenant.
She didn't say that anyone was going to speak in her behalf.
Yeah.
Okay. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Which case is it?
Good morning. Case number 14.
Case number 14 is CEB 0912102. I guess it's Tuja.
12.
K-Bell. LLC, DBA Heritage Inn. Property located at 1100 South Bridgewood Avenue.
Can you state your name
to
the microphone, please?
Yeah, Praveen Patel.
Can you spell that for me?
P-R-A-V-I-N. Last name Patel, P-A-T-L.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Patel, what's your relationship to the owners?
I'm the manager and owner.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board, David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department, Inspector. Credentials are on file. Today we're here in regards to case 09-12-102, Tajal and Caval LLC, DBA Heritage Inn, located at 1100 South Ridgewood Avenue. Original notification occurred on June 7th, 2012. Second inspection was 8-7, and then the final inspection again happened again yesterday, the 12th, 11th, whatever yesterday was. Cited for smoke detectors, not provided or maintained in numerous rooms. Also, those were just rooms that I had went in. There was a couple others that were in compliance. I spoke to the manager here that upon reinspection, we need to hit every single room because I found numerous rooms that did not have hardwired smoke detectors, which is required at that point. So when we went back yesterday, that most of those were completed. Rooms 60, 62, and 77 were being done while I was there, but the rest of them, 7, 18, 19, 14, were all completed. So they still are in non-compliance with those. They may have finished them yesterday after I left, but there were still at least three, and I'll continue to look at the others after we go back. The repair of all self-closing devices on each door, have not been completed either. After speaking with the manager, he said that he was going to be getting those done, just was trying to get a hold of, get the smoke detectors taken care of first because those were priority, which I appreciated. He has an electrical panel, a fire extinguisher. Some of his fire extinguishers are not up to date. Some of them are, so those are still in non-compliance. The spacers, which are required in the electrical panel was kind of hanging off the wall a little bit, not the panel itself, just the cover that goes on the front. When we put that kind of back into place, there's still some places where some electrical breakers are no longer there, and it's a requirement that a spacer, which is just a little piece of plastic, be put in that place. That's something that needs to be taken care of. And then the fifth item was the commercial industrial residential sign. You've probably heard me talk about it before, that's required on most properties if it meets criteria. That has not been done. I do have the paperwork for him today again to give him of where to get those signs and what type they are, so I will be giving that information to him today again for him. So essentially today looking non-compliance for the items we spoke about here.
Next cutoff, David?
That is correct, next cutoff.
Okay. Ms. Patel, what would you like to say to us regarding the violations and your progress?
Yeah, we are ready to comply, so we need time frame, please.
How much time?
10, 15 days.
Okay. 15. So by October 3rd, yeah, you believe you'll be done with everything then?
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time you were notified?
Yeah, we have, sir, different kind of smoke detector with battery. So he find 2-3 smoke detector in the room.
Okay.
But what his requirement as per city, we are ready to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Based on information and testimony provided by the inspector and the respondents, Mr. Patel, Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allow the respondent until October 3rd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thanks, Mr. Patel.
Here, I got that paperwork for you too.
Before we move forward, can I recognize, it looks like we have some special guests out in the audience. I see code enforcement on the shirts, but I can't make out the city or the agency. If you all would like to stand and just introduce yourselves, we would appreciate it.
For the board's benefit, they're from the city of New Smyrna Beach, and I'll have them come up and introduce themselves.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Barb Oblak, City of New Smyrna Beach Code Enforcement Officer.
Patty Snyder, Code Enforcement Officer for New Smyrna Beach.
Dorley Sapogany, City of New Smyrna Beach, and I am the Code Enforcement Administrative Specialist.
Thank you. Glad to have you.
Welcome.
On.
Thank you.
See what you're getting into? David, do you have another?
Mr. Chair, I think I had number 13, and I'm not sure. I just want to make sure. Number 13 is going to be going to look for a continued case.
Okay.
So do you want to go through the motions and do that one too also real quick?
Case number 13 is CEB 0912101, Jose Morales. The property is located at 111 South Grandview Avenue.
Yes, case number 09-12-101, City of Daytona Beach, First Jose Morales. Property is located at 111 South Grandview Avenue. This property had got a complaint on, was trying to get in, couldn't get in. Again, I've got here noticed as the actual residential sign because that's one thing that they had not had, but I was not able to get into the units. So through my letters, didn't go through. Finally, the gentleman who was the owner was out of the country for a month or something like that through this time frame. As of yesterday, I did do the actual inspection yesterday, so he does have some violations, which can be corrected before the next cutoff and is agreed to do that. But for this specific case right here, which is part of those violations, I'm just asking for noncompliance next cutoff.
Information, let's move by the bed inspector, and his testimony chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance and requiring the respondent to come into compliance by October 3rd, 2012, will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Borns.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
Yes, please. Is this how many units are in this building?
There's two buildings. One building's got four units, and the building behind has two units. Two units. So it's a total of six units over two buildings on the same parcel and property.
And you first notified him in May?
Yes. And he was gone. The first one that went out was not certified. The second one that went out was certified. And then that must have been while he was gone. And then actually he really responded back when Amy's went out.
Does he live there?
Yes, he lives on the back part of the property. He lives in one of the two units in the second building or the back building of the property.
For our purposes right now, considering this case, does it matter what the inspections, what the violations are? In other words, you said you went in and found some violations other than...
It won't be relative to this case.
But it won't be relative to this
correct.
Case.
No, that's
correct?
Why I didn't bring up the violations, because they're not...
Okay.
I just wanted to make the board aware that an inspection was performed. There were some violations, and they weren't... They're not related to this and huge in nature, so...
Okay.
Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Vicki, would you like to come up?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Case number 10 is CEB091298, Kenneth R. and Betty J. Bennett. The property is located at 245 South Landville Avenue. Is the respondent here? Go ahead, Vicki. Good morning.
Actually, they were here, and I talked with them about the substantial progress that they have made, and they didn't need to stay. So, my name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach. As a code enforcement officer, credentials are on file with the city. It's the case of Daytona Beach versus Kenneth R. and Betty J. Bennett. Their property address is 245 South Landvale, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID number 52391700-1240. The violations have been, there were no house numbers. They have since been put on. It's just some storage materials on the outside that's left. The requirements have been met. Green card has been sent and signed for. All the evidence, pictures, and evidence has been pertinent, has been supplied to each board member for their use. There was a lot of material stored on the outside. It was quite unkempt. They have made most of this in the front is gone. There's a little bit left on the front porch. I've talked with them about that, and they now understand, and they feel fairly certain that within the next week it's all going to be taken care of. It was just a little bit left. So right now we are in noncompliance and looking at next cutoff.
Thanks, Vicki. Based on information that's provided by the inspector and information that's contained in the record, chair would entertain a motion finding responding to noncompliance and allowing the respondent until October 3rd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000. Day. Is such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Smart. Second by Mr. Brown. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chair, I think there's someone down here that. Are you waiting to be heard? I think
yes.
Those people
are
okay.
Yes.
There are quite a few? Okay.
Just for the record, case number 11, CEB091299, Linda Kay and Raymond Hawkins is in compliance as of September 10, 2012, as well as case number 12, CEB091211, that property is also in compliance as of September 12, 2012. And it was read into the record, I believe, by Ms. Hanson. board need a break, or do you want to continue? Consider there are respondents. Would you like to come up? I guess we're going to proceed. John, what's your case number?
It's going to be case number 19.
Okay. Case number 19 is CEB 0912107, Nestor M. Is it Ferreira? The property is located at 1355 Continental Drive. John, was the other person, does she need to be here?
No.
Okay.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, code enforcement inspector employed with the city of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 0912107, city of Daytona Beach versus Ferrero Nestor M. Property address is 1355 Continental Drive. The parcel ID is 521107000290. The violations at this time were the accessory structure, the fencing, and no occupational license for a rental property. The property owner was cited. They responded. I got my green card back, and they're going to explain the rental issue with you.
Your
name?
Nestor Ferreira.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Good morning.
All right. The property is not for rent. It's on my name, but I bought it for my son and his friend like 6 years ago because they didn't want to pay rent anymore. So as they didn't have good credit to go to the bank and ask for a credit, the house went on my name. That's it. Simple.
What about the fencing, Mr. Ferrero? What's?
Oh, the fencing was a misunderstood. We thought that the fence that we had to repair was the metal fence, not the wooden fence, and that's why we didn't take care of it.
Okay. When do you think you can have it repaired? Or how soon?
1 week.
Okay. John, what do you have to say about the fact that he's saying that it's not an occupational issue?
City has no objection to the rental license issue, and I'm fine with the next cutoff on the fence.
Okay. So we're withdrawing the other part, occupational license?
Yes, sir.
Based on information provided by the inspector and the respondents, Chair would entertain a Mr. Ferreira, you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time you were notified or contacted by Mr. Stinson?
Yeah, I tried. We tried to contact him, and he told me on the phone that it was a rental property thing, and I spoke to him and explain the deal, but he told me that I had to be present here.
Okay. Based on information provided by the inspector and the respondent, shall would entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until October 3rd, 2012 to come into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Also, for the record, the violation of no occupational license for rental has been withdrawn by the inspector.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Ferreira.
Thank you.
If you run into any problems, contact Mr. Stinson.
Yes, I will.
Case number 20 is CEB 0912108, Mary Elizabeth Crosby Halt, 1157 Ginsburg Drive. Violation is outside storage. Responded here?
No, sir. Ginsburg.
Morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector employed at the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file at the city. This is case number CEB 0912108, City of Daytona Beach versus Mary Elizabeth Crosby Halt. The violations on the property at 1157 Ginsburg Drive was outside storage of junk and debris. As of yesterday, the condition of the property has not changed. The city is asking for the next cutoff.
John, is this property fenced off from the street?
There is a fence, yes.
Okay. Did you have a complaint?
This particular case was field generated.
Have you been in touch with the owner?
Negative. I've had to post the property, post City Hall. So we just sent a certified letter out. It came back. So our next step would be to post the property, send a first-class letter, post City Hall. All those things have been done.
Property is occupied?
Negative.
Well, it's not.
John, would you maybe research the record just for the next meeting to find out if there is a death certificate for the named owner, or just find out if especially realizing that the property is not occupied.
Okay.
Does it look like there's any type of movement or anything around the property at any time?
No activity at all. The overgrowth on the property has been turned over to our lot clearance specialist to clear the lot.
Based on information provided by the inspector, Mr. Stinson, and information that's contained in the record, the chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until October 3rd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of $5,000 per day. So such motion.
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 21 is CEB 0912109, Gail P. and Ernest. Is it LeBrec?
Yeah.
Okay. Got that one right.
Pronounced
it correctly. Thank you. Property is located at 617 Westmoreland Road.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 0912109, City of Daytona Beach versus Gail P. and Ernest LeBrec. Property address is 617 Westmoreland Road. The violations were outside storage of junk and debris and lack of maintenance on the landscaping. Currently, this property is in compliance as of yesterday, 9/12. I got you.
Mm-hmm. I think that takes care of everything, doesn't it, John?
Yes, sir.
We just need to read into the record 16 and 17.
16 and 17. Just for the record, case number 16 is CEB 0912104. 2000 Roy Jean Compton and Patricia Ann Compton Revocable Trust, care of Roy Jean Compton and Patricia Compton as trustees. Property is located at 1337 Continental Drive. The property is in compliance as of September 4, 2012. Case number 17, which is CEB 0912105, Matthew and Dorianne Noschel. Property is located at 1348 Continental Drive. The property was in compliance as of September 4, 2012. I'd like to take this opportunity, if we're all done with case, to ask our guests if they have any questions or additional comments. Okay. Well, I hope we did okay for you.
But we'd be glad to hear you all's cases for a minimal fee.
Do you have a citizen board, Daniel Wilson? Or do you have a magistrate?
We currently have a citizen board. Our problem that we're running into is we've lost several members, and we're down to four on our board, and we're having a problem getting new members and keeping members. So we're looking at also possibly going with the special magistrate.
I tell you, the citizen board that here is great. It's the here in Daytona Beach, we have a citizen board, and Newsom County has a citizen board, too. And it's very wonderful. They're well-educated people, and they know what they're doing, and they... So this, the nice thing about the citizen board, it feels like people deal with people, as opposed to the magistrates. I've done both. It's like having a judge there.
Awful fight.
And I'm sure staff will agree with that 100%.
I wanted to say that anything that you've seen or heard this morning is not based on anything that I've done. I don't take any credit for it, but it's the people around me that make this work. And I wanted to know, though, how many members do you have on your board normally?
I have a seven-member board. Normally.
Seven.
Currently, we're down to four.
Four, right.
And we really only have two members on the board that have been there for any length of time. So the other two are fairly new members.
Your board members are selected by your commission?
Yes.
Well, they need to maybe have a few more contacts in the community, because I don't think it would really be that hard to find board.
I think we're just having a hard time with the citizens in general wanting to volunteer on any of our boards.
Really?
It's all over the place.
Well, not here.
Not here. You've got to rest.
Well, I'll tell you, I can make a deal with you if you put me buy me a house on the river.
On the beach.
On the beach, yeah.
On the beach side.
On my river, I wasn't working. I didn't even get your four clothes when I was on vacation.
Thanks again for coming.
Thank you.
Glad to have you all. Is there any miscellaneous business by any member of the board or city staff? Sherry, would you like to introduce the officer?
This is Officer Cliff Reckonzone. He has been assigned to code enforcement to help out with the law enforcement side of it.
Okay. So we're not losing you, I hope.
Oh, no.
Okay, great. Okay. Is there any other business by city staff? Okay. We're adjourned.
I'd just like to let you know...